Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Lonzo, and you. The phone line open for you, 844-326-3663. Clemson fans, South Carolina fans, how you doing? How you holding up? You had a day to, you know, the old Nick Saban one-day rule. You get one day to celebrate or one day to commiserate. You had your one day to commiserate. What an interesting year in a year where coming into the season, I think all of us assumed the Clemson Tigers were on their way once again to the college football playoff. What a year in which the only folks, and I'm pretty comfortable saying this, the only folks who did not have Clemson winning the Atlantic Coast Conference this year were either absolute unbridled homers or haters, man. I found it. Yay. Booker's back, baby. On the flip side, I came into this year with an, I won't say assumption that South Carolina was getting in. It certainly was always going to be a significant amount of effort, but a year where I was working under a belief, thought, that Carolina was going to start this year at 5-0. Was going to start this year at 5-0, and the question of can they get into the playoffs was simply going to be up to can this team go 4-3 in the last seven? And it was a tough seven. LSU, Alabama, Oklahoma, A&M, Ole Miss, Clemson. It was a tough back seven, but I thought 5-0 to start, you need to be 4-3 down the stretch, because I do think South Carolina was going to have one thing going for it that a lot of other teams that would have been 9-3 and hoping for the 12 seed wouldn't have, which is the SEC brownie points, the bonus points that you get for playing in that conference. And yes, I believe that those are real. Instead, South Carolina finds themselves 0-2 in the Southeastern Conference, the most important of those first five games. And Clemson finds themselves 1-3 and also 0-2 in the conference with losses to Georgia Tech and Syracuse. Now, it is still possible, let me be very clear, that South Carolina can make the playoffs. However, you would probably have to, I think at this point, you would have to run undefeated through the remainder of the season. And you will recall the number of times that I said, I think 5-0 is important, not just because it creates a reality where 4-3 might be good enough to get you in through those back seven. But more importantly, even if you lose one and the mentality became, okay, now we just need to go 5-2. Tough, not impossible, but tough. The other thought was, if you lose one of the first five, and with the recognition now Mizzou's a pretty good football team. Like, for a dude who, a year ago, Eli Drinkwitz was being discussed as possibly a hot seat nominee either during or after the 2025 season, Mizzou is a pretty good football team at this point. So, that's honestly not the worst L in the world. Vandy is a pretty good football team. That's a top 25 team now. And as I've mentioned
number
a number
one
of
team
times,
in the SEC.
I mean, they're hanging on to it. As I've mentioned a few times, I don't think Vandy's done either. I think that there is another highlight dub coming down the line because Clark Lee's a football dude. They coach well, and Diego Pavi is just that dog, man. So it's still possible. But from what we've seen, Oklahoma now jumping up, and we're about to take a look at the AP Top 25. Oklahoma now jumping up. They, over the weekend, surpassed Florida State, and not only surpassed Florida State, jumping up four spots, they grabbed a first-place vote away from Ohio State in the process. That's a good football team. If South Carolina can't go on the road and beat, again, a good Missouri team, but right now, today, Oklahoma is a better football team. If they can't go on the road and finish Mizzou, even if I am correct and LSU is not as good of a team as they're being made out to be, LSU down a spot, as is Penn State, by the way, LSU and Georgia, zero first-place votes at 4-5. Oklahoma and Oregon at 6-7 each have one. Penn State got 5, Miami got 7, and Ohio State lost 3 first-place votes, although they do remain in the number one spot. If you can't go on the road to Columbia, Missouri and get the win, I don't have a lot of faith you can go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana and get the win. Even if LSU is overrated, I still think they are probably a better football team than Missouri is. So how do I bank on your ability to get that game won? If you can't beat Missouri on the road, how do I expect you to go down to Texas A&M, now a top 10 football game team, a team that knocked off Notre Dame at their house? How do I expect you to go down to the compound and knock off the Colt? I can't and I don't. The you must go 5-0 take for South Carolina was not just a matter of set up a world where 4-3 in the back half makes you 9-3, and 9-3 out of the Southeastern Conference might very well be good enough to get you the final playoff spot. But it was also a matter of if you lose to any of the teams in the first five, even if Mizzou is this good, if you lose to any of the teams in the first five, I don't have a lot of faith that you won't lose the majority of the games in the back half. This is a South Carolina team that we went from borderline playoff team, like maybe a playoff team. 9-3 with that schedule might be good enough to get you in too. You might be fighting for a 6-6 record this year. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you have to beat Kentucky this weekend. Kentucky's bad. Kentucky's bad. But if Kentucky's looking for a bounce back spot, and with all of the back and forth between their coach and yours, you're going to get the best shot anybody's going to get out of Kentucky this weekend. Fortunately, it is back at Willie B. So, sorry, not this weekend. You got the bye week. Then you got Kentucky. Good time for a bye week. But right now, even the most diehards, you taking South Carolina to win on the road at number 4 LSU? Nah, bro. Am I taking them to win at home right now against number 7 Oklahoma? Nah, bro. Am I taking you to win against Alabama, the number 7 team in the country? Alabama got hammered by Florida State. But all Alabama has done since then is hammer everybody else. Now, granted, that's UL Monroe and Wisconsin. It ain't a murderer's row. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think Alabama on the road in Athens this weekend is about to give Georgia a ball game. Would you take right now, Would you take South Carolina to beat Ole Miss? I'm going to say no. And just for the record, for what it's worth, because I got to tell you, it's been pretty good this year. ESPN's matchup indicator gives Ole Miss an 86% chance to win that ballgame. Would you take South Carolina to win on the road at the compound against the Colt of Texas A&M? I'm going to say no. Would you take them to beat Coastal? Sure. Would you take them to beat Clemson right now? That's a toss-up game to me, to be honest with you. Based on what I saw this weekend, that's a toss-up game. For the record, because again, I'm going to give it credit until it starts to fail miserably. The matchup predictor for that one gives South Carolina a 61.7% chance of knocking off Clemson. A lot of football between here and there. But the point is, I'm looking down the rest of this schedule. A schedule that you have two wins. So, South Carolina, assuming that they are favored against Kentucky, let's just check what that number is just for the funsies on this one. South Carolina, according to ESPN, a 58% chance to win this game. So, you're favorited against Kentucky. You'll be favorited against Coastal. You are right now, with a lot of ball games between here and Thanksgiving, favorited against Clemson. You must win every game you are supposed to. And if you drop Kentucky, if you drop Coastal, and if you drop Clemson, which I do think is a droppable game, that Clemson-Carolina game, that might be a bowl eligibility game for South Carolina. That might be a game where you've got to beat Clemson in your house to go to the Poinsettia Bowl at this point.
You know, I get they didn't look great against Missouri, but they didn't get blown out. It wasn't like they weren't competitive. So they definitely can win some more games.
Yeah, Kentucky, Coastal, and maybe Clemson. There is not another game on this schedule that I think South Carolina is prepared to threaten the team. And again, it's SEC football. You never know. Like, maybe there's just one. But right now, I would not pick them to win LSU. I would not be on the road. I would not pick them to beat Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, or Texas A&M. I think you're up in the air about Clemson. I think you should beat Kentucky weekend after this one, and you should beat Coastal. There's only two games right now that I would say confident they get that dub. Confident they get that dub, and that's Kentucky and Coastal. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if Kentucky shocks you a little bit. So there's a couple of spots in this game that I think that you have to circle in red as this better get fixed. Here's your numbers. Lenora Sellers through the air was not awful. 302 passing yards in this game. And that includes the number of times that he had to drop back and fling it because he was under pressure. You got to stop, Mike Shula. You got to stop trying to make this guy a pocket passing quarterback. Like, shift the protection, man. Shift the protection. Start getting your offensive line to block to the right, to the left, whatever. Allow Lenoris to get and throw on the run. One of his best throws this weekend was on the run going left, going the wrong way. Let him move a little bit. He's shown you he can throw the ball. But the asset of Lenoris as a passer is throwing the ball because he is a threat to take off and run. If you drop him in the pocket, I can have one guy responsible for Lenoris. And this is what Mizzou did. We're going to set the edge. He's not going to get out past the defensive ends against a standard pass pro. I'm going to have one guy locked in. Everybody's in coverage. I got six guys in coverage every time because I can set the edge and I got one linebacker who just, wherever he goes, you go. You got to move this dude. You got to shift him. You got to make protection roll left, right, whatever. And you can take advantage of that. The number that killed you, however, was 22 rushes minus 9 yards. On the flip side, Mizzou, 48 rushes, 285 yards. And then the number that got you the most, 14 penalties, 98 yards of penalty yardage.
See, there's the thing. They're playing undisciplined football. If you can clean up half of those, it's going to help you a great deal towards getting another victory.
I entirely agree. But here's the other question that I have. Great one. We are 4 games deep in the season. This has been an ongoing problem. There comes a point where, and I hate to be this guy, but at the end of the day, like when we're talking football, the niceties have to stop. there comes a point where I just have to say, that's who you are. I don't have a belief you can clean this up anymore. Like, you've had four games to get that figured out and cleaned up. Four of them. And here we are in game four, and it's just, this is something I can say about Clemson and South Carolina after a pair of Palmetto State L's this weekend. The issues that caused you both to lose are not new. We are four games deep. You are a quarter of the way through the season already. Four games deep. And the things that cost both of these teams L's, not able to find the run, asking Lenores to be a pocket passer instead of taking advantage of the wheels, dumb penalties, and an inability or unwillingness to tackle tough ball carriers has doomed South Carolina. We are four games deep. At which point do I just have to say, you are who you are, it's not going to be fixed, and that's bad. That's where it's at. Because you're four games deep. Let me find a text we just got a second ago. Texter said, texted about, oh, here it is. Beamer has a ton to correct. I don't have him on the hot seat, but he needs to fire at least two coaches when the year is over. The lack of a competent offensive coordinator is going to be his downfall. I went from 2 weeks ago going, give it some time. The Dow Loggins thing was not nearly as bad as we thought that it was. Give it some time. To, I'm kind of right there with you. I'm kind of in a spot where I'm going, BMO's not on the hot seat, but if he doesn't find somebody next year who can run the X's and the O's and take advantage of the talent when you, oh, by the way, don't have an alien at quarterback, he might be on it next year. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I want to throw this out one more time, and I want to get your thoughts slash opinion on it. I am working on a theory, and it is a theory that is going to be very difficult to prove because both the metrics that I am using as well as the subjects of the theory, ability to meet or failure to meet the metrics, are all very subjective. They are things that I may say this coach is or is not meeting a metric, and you may say that they are or are not. I may say this is a metric, and you go, Rob, that's a real dumb metric to try to measure against. How do you measure against that? The answer is, I don't know, but I do know that it's a theory that kind of clicked into my brain over the weekend while having a conversation with a football buddy of mine that I've just been kind of spinning around in the noodle for a couple of days now. Here's the working theory that I am playing around with right now. In 2025, college football coaches can no longer win on legacy or charisma. Two things that in years gone by, not only very much mattered, but two things that I think were frankly good enough to carry coaches. This is part of what I have said for a very long time about Nick Saban. I don't think Nick Saban was a particularly good game day coach. I think Nick Saban had a couple of things going for him. I think Nick Saban was a fantastic motivator if Nick Saban's style of motivation clicked with you. For many players, it just doesn't. I also think Nick Saban was the type of dude that beat you in February when he signed his recruiting class. Because, based on a combination of these things, he was able to just go get the best players in America, and he was able to stack them up. Now, you can blame it on the transfer portal. You can blame it on NIL. I do, because it is the cause, but I don't use the word blame because I don't think it's bad. Now, with players having the ability to go, yep, I don't want to go here no more, and they can just go, it opens up a world where coaches have to be very complete in the way that they attack being a Division I football coach. And I think that there are four things that a coach has to be very good at. I think category number one is player acquisition. You have to successfully recruit twice. The first one, though, obviously, is to get guys. You've got to get, and I think even, you know, Florida State was kind of the first team that went all in on being a portal team. And on one hand, it got them a 13-0 Atlantic Coast Conference championship. On the second hand, the next year, it got them 2-10 and the single worst fall off in any individual year of any individual program of all time. I think most of us, maybe not all, but most of us have kind of landed on this spot where you've still got to recruit very well out of high school, but you fill out your roster with high school players and you fill in the holes with portal players, but you've got to recruit and acquire out of the portal. Category number two, player retention. You have to recruit guys on your team to stay on your team, whether it's NIL money or it's playing time or it's whatever. These guys have the opportunity to leave. You have got to convince people on your team, especially players, unless you are one of the, you know, annual national championship threats. You've got to convince guys to want to stay on your team. Category number three, player development. You can have the most talented group of athletes in the world, but there is a massive difference between having talented athletes and well-developed football players. How many times have we seen a team go get a guy because he is a 40-yard dash track star or he's an Olympic gold medalist in the 100-meter dash, and they show up and you put pads on them and they're fast as hell, boy, but they're not good football players. They can't catch. The ability to run and see the field and react to it isn't there. Like, if it's not straight line speed, they don't work out. You've got to develop athletes into being football players at their position. You've got to develop athletes to be able to do what you need them to do at the highest level that they can do it. And number four is execution in game. You have to be able to coach in game. You cannot just win by being successful at items 1, 2, and 3. You have to be good at items 1, 2, and 3. And then once you have acquired the best players, developed the best players, retained the best players, then when it's time from kickoff to final, you've got to be able to take those players, see what is happening on the football field, react, respond, and adapt to it as a play caller, as a coach. You have got to be able to coach up guys in the game. If your left tackle is getting his butt whooped and it's putting your quarterback under pressure, you need to have somebody there that can see what is happening and can go over and say, here's what you're doing wrong, or here's how this guy's beating you, and here's how you take that away from him, or whatever. And you need to be able to do that for 22 individual football players and for the team as a whole. There are spots on these four categories that I think Dabo and Shane are both failing. As far as player acquisition, I think they're I think South Carolina is, relatively speaking, in pretty much as good of a position as it's ever been. Let me tell you where the danger is down the line for South Carolina. I think players came into this year believing that this was a step-up year for this team, that if there was ever going to be a shot for this team to elevate into the next tier of Southeastern Conference squads, it was going to be this year. And I think a lot of players are very happy to be a part of that. But what happens if Lenora Sellers, recruited by everybody and they mama coming out of the state, what happens if he's not a loyalist? Or what happens if he looks at that team and thinks, nope, that's just the same old Gamecocks. They're not going anywhere. I could go win a natty somewhere. Why would I go there? Now all of a sudden that's going to fall off. That goes to number four. For Clemson, I think for a very long time, Dabo was able to get athletes, and much like Nick Saban, he was able to stack them so that the next man up on any given Clemson roster would have been the man on most other rosters. That's not a thing Dabo or anyone else can do anymore. There's not a lot of teams that are too deep with guys that would be starters everywhere else, because if you're good enough to be a starter everywhere else, you're probably going to go to somewhere else where you will start and not be a backup guy who can start. Depth is an issue for everybody now, which means those second guys on the bench, you better be developing them ready to go when it is their shot so you don't lose them down the line. I think South Carolina is getting guys as a result of the vibes, but if you don't do something with them quick, you won't be getting them anymore. Player retention? Dabo's the best in the game at it. But again, does it matter if you get a guy who wants to stay and graduate, but he's the 67th best player in the country at his position? That's not how you win championships. Like, I know it feels great, right? But Randy Shannon down at Miami had a year with Miami, or a two-year run with Miami, where he had more players graduate than that school had ever had before, and he had zero arrest at Miami. Zero arrest across 2 years. What did Miami do to Randy Shannon? They fired him. They said, that's not good enough. You're here to win football games. At the end of the day, like, it's great. And yes, we all love to lean on, well, you know, lead them to be great men and graduate and get a degree and do all that. Buddy, you're not getting paid $11 million a year as a career development advocate. You're getting paid $11 million a year to win football games. And that's not getting it done right now. But I think the thing that hangs over both these guys right now, Dabo Swinney and Shane Beamer, and this is the crux of my theory here. I look at a guy like Brent Key, football guy, X's and O's guy. Georgia Tech looks as good as they've ever looked. I look at a guy like Clark Lee, football guy, X's and O's. Vandy looks as good as they've ever looked. I look at a guy like Kurt Cignetti. He wins. Google him. X's and O's guy, football guy. Indiana beat number 9 Illinois by 60 on Saturday. I think the spot you find yourselves in right now, both Clemson and South Carolina, I think you're holding hands metaphorically in this spot, is you both have head coaches that have charisma, and you have head coaches that are able to get and retain, and you have head coaches that are dudes everybody wants to be around. But I do not see either of these teams developing, getting better. Is South Carolina better in week four than they were in week one? No. Is Clemson better in week four than they are in week one? No. In fact, I'd say they're worse. You're not developing. And then when it's X's and O's time on game day, your X's and O's stink. And you've surrounded yourself with other coaches who are there to make you feel better, not to coach the X's and O's and have tough conversations. That's my theory. Out of pocket, legit, inbounds, out of bounds, you tell me. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a final look at the Associated Press Top 25 poll. Because while we may not love the AP poll and while we have plenty of issues with it, and we will get to some of those here in the final segment of the show, it is important. It is important. I've been telling you for a very long time, I don't like it. I don't love it. But it does have some level of impact on what the at least first playoff poll is going to look like. And much like the preseason poll has a, I would dare say, unfair influence on what the poll looks like in weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, 7. The first playoff poll will have an exaggerated impact on what the second, third, and fourth playoff polls look like moving towards the college football playoff. So here's where we check in at. Number one, Ohio State. They lose 3 first place votes. They do hang on to the one spot now with 52 of those votes. Miami jumps up a pair of spots to number 2 after their win this weekend over the mighty Gators of Florida. Miami moves up to number 2 with ranked wins over Notre Dame and South Florida. The only game that was really ever in question was the Notre Dame game. And as much as we gave them grief last week, and I think it's fair too, for pointing out that Notre Dame was ranked despite being 0-2, I'm coming around on that's actually a pretty good football team. I just think they lost 2 very tough games. Granted, they lost 2 tough games. But if we get to week 8 or 9 and there's a 2-loss team that is 6-2, ranked at 24, nobody's batting an eye at that, right? So at 1-2, I'm not as anti-Notre Dame being ranked with the understanding that they jumped or they were jumped by now 4-0 USC. I think that is fair, and I think moving Illinois behind them. Illinois dropped 14 spots down to number 23. That is what happens, Illinois, when you play a top 10 team and you lose 63-10. Penn State is at number 3. They have 5 first place votes, but they do drop a spot behind number 2, Miami. That also moves LSU down a spot, now down to number 4, despite being 4-0. But LSU, kind of in a similar spot. You had a good win over Clemson. That win now over a now 1-3 Clemson team is not carrying the weight that it did in week number 2. And Florida obviously now dropping to 1-3. That win over the Gators, who were unranked at the time, that has lost some weight. So now LSU, again, against 2 power teams, but a 7-point win over a 1-3 Clemson team, a 10-point win when you had 5 takeaways over a now 1-3 Florida team, not carrying the weight. I'm unsurprised LSU dropped. Georgia at number 5, Oregon with 1 first place vote at number 6. They are 90 points ahead. They are more than 90 more. It's a couple hundred points ahead of number 7, Oklahoma. The Boomer Sooners get a win over a ranked Auburn team, 24-17, a game that was good for a while, but there was never really a point in that game where it was like Auburn's the better team and they're a play away here. Like Oklahoma was clearly the better team. So they jump up 4 spots. They move Florida State back 1 spot to number 8. Texas A&M comes up a spot. They jump now number 10, Texas. Texas with a 3-1 record, the only loss to the now number 1 team. However, the lack of performance has dropped them at now another 2 spots down to number 10. They beat Sam Houston this weekend 55-0. Arch Manning, like, all right, Did you see the standover celebration that Arch Manning did when he ran the touchdown in?
I did.
How'd you feel about that? Did you care about it? I looked at it and kind of went, Dad, that's kind of gross, dude. It's Sam Houston. Do it against Georgia.
It's you're in the middle of competition. You're hyped up. I don't think it matters. If you think it's in poor taste, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. It doesn't matter if it's the number one team or if it's, you know, a Division III team.
Sure.
If it's in poor taste, it's in poor taste, no matter the competition.
That's fair. I don't like it. I certainly don't like it.
It's unsportsmanlike for sure.
Yeah.
Did he get penalized? If not, he should have.
I do not. I honestly don't remember because I didn't watch that game, because when I checked in on it, it was like 37-0 at the half. And I'm like, nah, I don't need to watch this. I'll circle it back around to the highlights with so much else going on. Arch finishes 18 of 29, 309, three touchdowns. Ran it five times for 11 yards. Ran it in twice as well. You know, like, dude, like, I get it. I think that was pent-up frustration from Arch Manning, right? Like, I think that was a release of pent-up frustration. At the same time, like, I get what you're saying. If it bothers you against Sam Houston, it should bother you against Georgia. It kind of doesn't to me. Like, you're paying that team, you know, upwards of $500,000 to come to your house and let you beat their ass for 60 minutes so you can get some practice in. I don't feel the need to rub it in against a team you're up 40-0 against.
Now, if it's reversed, I don't have a problem with it.
I agree entirely.
If it's Sam Houston doing that to Texas, I mean,
yeah, I mean, maybe not if they're different. Down like 35-0.
No, I meant with the same score, yeah, everything. Yeah.
Then I wouldn't have an issue with it. Like, I do think it's time and place dictates taste to some degree. And I was just like, all right. I'm not gonna hold it against them for long, because again, I understand that a large part of that was done because Arch has been wildly frustrated by the performance, and he finally got it right. Anyway, Texas drops to number 10. Indiana, 8 spots up to number 11. Zoe, are you in after that win on Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers?
They're a really good second-tier team, like they were last year.
They just beat the number 9 team by 53 points.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Did you really feel like that was the number 9 team?
I think there were teams that were better, but I don't think that there's a lot of teams that were worse. By the way, it was pointed out this weekend. You go back to last year, who were the two teams that Indiana lost 2 games last year? Who were the two teams that they lost to? Do you remember?
I'm going to go Ohio State, Penn State. I don't remember.
No. Ohio State and Notre Dame. The only two teams to beat Indiana last year were the two teams who played for the national championship.
Right.
Like, maybe they deserve a little more credit than we gave them.
Like I said, second-tier team. There's nothing wrong with being a second-tier team.
Who's not second-tier then? I mean, so the only two teams that are first-tier are the two teams that play for the Natty? Because that's the only two teams who beat them last year.
I mean, technically, probably.
Indiana goes to number 11. Texas Tech. Y'all, Texas Tech won me some money this weekend because I told you I liked that cover. I liked that cover against Utah. Cover 34-10. They beat them like a drum, dude. This Red Raider team is, you know what this Red Raider team is? The 2023 Florida State Seminoles. It's just a transfer portal / NIL team that spent a bunch of money, and it's working out so far. Ole Miss number 13-4-0. Iowa State to 14. They dropped 2 spots. Texas Tech up 5 spots, by the way. Georgia Tech comes up 2 spots at 4-0 to number 16. Alabama drops 3 more spots. They were idle this weekend. They dropped 3 more spots down to number 17. Vandy up a pair of spots at 4-0 to number 18. Here's the question. The Vanderbilt Commodores have wins over Charleston Southern, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, and they hung 70 on Georgia State. Alabama played one power team that got hammered by Florida State. Could I make an argument that Vanderbilt deserves to be ranked ahead of Alabama right now?
Absolutely.
I think so, too. They beat 2 power teams versus Alabama, who got, like I said, beat like a drum by Florida State. They beat UL Monroe, and they beat Wisconsin, which, like, Wisconsin's tragic right now. I could make the argument Vanderbilt at 4-0 deserves to be ranked ahead of 2-1 Alabama. Michigan up two spots to 19. Mizzou up three spots after the win over South Carolina to number 20. USC finally leapfrogs Notre Dame up four spots to 21. Notre Dame 22 at 1-2. I really don't have a problem being ranked there. Illinois, by way of getting beat by 53, falls 14 spots to 23. TCU and BYU both enter the rankings for the first time at 24-25. Auburn, the first team out with 122 votes for the first time this year. Neither Clemson nor South Carolina got a single vote in the poll.
And just like that, the show's almost over. Time to talk about what the X is going on. The first thing that's Xing, I'm just going to go ahead and move this to the top. Mandalorian and Grogu.
Why is it Xing?
Because the trailer just dropped.
Oh.
About 15 minutes ago.
I like that show a lot.
No, this is the movie.
Yeah, no, but I like the
show. Okay,
I'm just curious as to, like, all right, so the whole premise towards the end of the show, and I know there were some details that happened, whatever, but, like, the whole premise towards the end of the show was once Grogu ended up with Luke and Ahsoka and Mandalorian showed back up, they were like, yeah, no, like, you can't be with him anymore because you'll disrupt the training he needs to become Yoda Volume 2.0. So, like, what are, like, does he get kidnapped in Mandalorian? Like, I'm watching the trailer as soon as the show's over.
All right, I've seen the trailer. I can't hear it. So I can't, the show, I want to hear it. All right, the next thing is Xing is WrestlePalooza.
Can we be honest? It wasn't a good show.
So you're going to, the reason why it's Xing is ESPN gave it a C.
Yeah, I said this well before. I don't care what they gave it. It was not a good show. It just wasn't. There were like two moments that were good.
I think it was a good show. It wasn't a great show.
I mean,
there
was good.
Jay getting hurt messed some stuff up really bad, and he really he got a concussion and it messed him up.
Is Bron Breakker made of steel? Like, Jay got hurt because he hit Bron with a chair that then bounced back and hit him. How hard of a back does Bron Breakker have that he's bouncing metal off of it?
It's just, I mean, it's bad that Jay got hurt, but at the same time, if you're Bron Breakker, you're like, yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Are you scared of your chair?
Yeah, I'm making a promo out of that. I will hand out chair shots when I'm not even looking at
it,
dude.
You know he's going to talk about that, and he should.
No, I actually did watch not all, but the majority of that show. It was, I don't even think I could give it the old classic Rob Brown. It was fine. Like, I just watched it, and
I liked the EO versus, that could have been raw, and
it would have been fine.
I liked EO versus Stephanie. There were a couple matches I thought were pretty good.
Sure, yeah. But like I said, it wasn't, it was just, like, it was a...
They threw this thing together, I mean, because ESPN won one soon, so, and it's something that doesn't exist and didn't have a chance to advance storylines. It could have been worse. We've seen worse.
Yes, anything could be worse, but it could have been light years better.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Quinshon Judkins.
Did not see what he did or did not do.
Dude. Yeah, he had himself a game.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like something specific.
Oh, no. He balled out.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
I didn't know if there was a follow-up or if just was...
Was it negative?
If this was just a reference for Quinshon Judkins.
He had a really good game.
He did. 18 carries, 94 yards and a touchdown. Like, not a bad day.
And he looked better than that. All right, the next thing that's Xing is...
That's the freaking Browns, by the way.
I know.
What the hell was that?
I know.
Packers. I spent the week on other radio stations going, hey, y'all, the Packs are a juggernaut, and then you do that?
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Tom Holland.
Tom Holland Xing. I did see this because apparently he was injured on set of the new Spider-Man movie doing a stunt, had a concussion, and I think they said a broken wrist. So you can go ahead and stop. You can go ahead and assume that from this point forward, all Spider-Man stunts will be CGI because they are not going to let him do that again.
I doubt it because he's done quite a few of the stunts on all the movies that he's been in.
Yeah,
I
don't think concussionless.
Yeah, that's true.
At some point, the insurance on that kicks in.
A stuntman also got hurt in that, so who knows? Maybe it wasn't his fault.
I have appreciated the Spider-Man movies in that they have leaned so much on practical effects and whatnot. Like, Spider-Man's actually doing the flips in the lands or whatever, but, like, that's not going to happen much more.
All right, the last thing is Xing is first day of fall.
Is today officially the first day of fall?
Yes, it is.
Good. Dear weather, please cooperate. I played golf on Saturday morning. It was 85 degrees at, like, 11 in the morning. We had our little false fall, all right? Now it's second summer. Mother Nature, I'm going to need you to get your act together, all right? I'm going to need you to get your act together. That's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's because you had bad taste in radio. But come back tomorrow, and we'll try to do better. X's and O's on tomorrow's show. That's Lonzo. I'm Roberto. Have a great day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. I regret doing that. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.